Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
No Bart, no Hahn, but two mustaches. Peter Burns, Randy Scott here on ESPN Radio, the SiriusXM Channel 80, or on your smart speaker. This show always presented by Progressive Insurance. We got a hell of a weekend that's getting ready to roll in. Randy Scott. I mean, we've got the Open Championship. We just saw three straight birdies from Rory McIlroy. He's making a charge at the top. Dustin Johnson's at 9-under. They're all chasing Cam Smith right now. He's at 13-under. Ooh, buddy, I am ready for it. I am ready for it. We saw Tiger Woods miss the cut, very emotional as he was leaving the Old Course, which perhaps for the last time. Still waiting for Donovan Mitchell to get traded to the Knicks. I'm still a firm believer that it happens. I told Pat Riley that he needs to just, like, listen, on these airwaves, take himself out of this equation. You're getting trolled by Danny Ainge. Don't absolutely get crushed by Danny Ainge here. Pull out of this whole situation, but we'll get into that because breaking news now, Randy, is that Deshaun Watson's former team, the Houston Texans, have come out today and settled lawsuits with women that were accusing him of sexual misconduct. Now, I think the big news story about this, and we'll talk to Amber Wilson about it in 30 minutes to make sense of this latest news, is the fact that this number is different than the one that we saw from Deshaun Watson settling. Remember a couple weeks ago, it was 20. Okay. They said there was, I think, four or five that were still remaining pending. The number that the Texans ended up doing today was 30. They closed 30 different cases.
Yeah.
What do you make of that? And how does the NFL, who perhaps have already kind of, quote unquote, taken this to conduct court, right? Did they know about this? There's a lot of questions to be answered right now with the NFL and everything that just went down.
It's semantically significant because there were 30 women who had filed a civil lawsuit. 30 women, a civil lawsuit against the Texans, doing so in June. June of this year.
Mm-hmm.
This didn't take long for the Texans to say, make this go away. Okay, we're today halfway into July. The terms of the settlements, we won't know. Tony Busby says it's confidential. We're not going to talk about it. That part's done. But the allegations against Watson came out in March of 2021, and we are still waiting to see what his NFL future holds. It took the Texans less than two full months to go ahead and say, we're settling this, we're moving on. For Watson, remember this, 30 women that the Texans settled with. For Watson, there are 24 lawsuits total by 25 women. So there's a difference now in five. The number is five, okay? There's 30 women with the Texans that the Texans settle with, 25 different women against Watson specifically, and he settled 20 of the 24 lawsuits. The numbers are all over the place, but for Watson, 25 women making accusations, 24 lawsuits, 20 settlements, which means there are four outstanding lawsuits against Watson, and Tony Busby addressed that and says, as of now, that is moving forward probably in the spring of next year in terms of actually going to trial, which means there's plenty of time for those to get settled. But that's what I can at least parse as this is all coming into us today. What I can tell you I don't like is the idea and the language, specifically the language. I don't mind settling it. If you can make someone, I want to say, you know, WHOLE, if you make someone whole by financially settling this and allowing them to move on with their lives, providing some measure of closure to their life, fine. Okay.
But what was it about the statement that the Texans put out that didn't sit right with you?
Okay. And as an organization, you're not going to say that this is an admission of wrongdoing. So I don't even mind the language. This is not an admission of wrongdoing. What I don't like are the 15 or so words that follow. Instead, this is a clear stand against any form of sexual assault and misconduct. No, it is not. Because what you could do then, what you could do with this gesture is say, yeah, you know, our security advisor, who provided the non-disclosure agreement template and boilerplate that Deshaun Watson used with several of the women providing making accusations against him for sexual impropriety and assault during some of these massages. Provide some insight here into how you allowed or how one of your employees was allowed to do that and take some ownership of that. And if you really want to make a stand against sexual assault, donate money to charities that fight that sort of thing, that educate and prevent that sort of thing, that provide resources for women to come forward, because that's what was so difficult about this that Tony Busby talks about, is it has to, you have to have a certain level of bravery, you have to have a certain level of selflessness to make these accusations in the first place, to open the door and allow more women to come forward and feel safe and confident in doing so. Because there were 30 women who had to do this in Texas, where football is everything.
The question is, Randy Scott, Peter Burns here for Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio. Of course, this new news, it asks and begs to ask the question about right now with the NFL going through this conduct deal. Remember, I remember seeing earlier, I want to say earlier this week, that, you know, there were stuff floated around about, well, it might only be 4 to 6 games for Deshaun Watson. We don't know. I can't imagine anybody that's leaking that out at this point. At first, I kind of thought, well, maybe that's just trying to file a balloon out there, kind of a trial balloon out there, just as, to kind of soften the blow of what this may come out. I guess maybe this Texans thing comes out at a proper time for the NFL, because can you imagine if all of a sudden the NFL comes out and says, all right, they've decided on this panel, this judge has said he's going to sit out 10 games, and then all of a sudden the Houston Texans come back and say, well, wait a minute, we just settled our court case for 30. And everybody's like, whoa, 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 whoa. Did you know about that it was 30 and not 24?
Right.
Right?
Right.
And the timeline is going to be crucial right here for the NFL to prove they already knew about the 30. Okay? This was part of their conversation, because if it's not, then the NFL probably has to reevaluate that as well. Because how truthful were you about what was happening at this point? Because it seems like every time they asked Deshaun Watson what was going on, the numbers keep moving.
That's the point. Yeah, man, it's the cover up, not the crime. It's what you knew, when you knew it, how forthcoming you were, or in this case, how forthcoming you weren't. You're right. Yeah. And that's going to factor into the punishment as well. You know, there's some things that you hear just, you know, working here and being around people who know more about it and who are plugged in more than you'll ever be. I don't think we're going to have to wait very long to get the league's decision here. I wonder, though, and you brought up this point, I wonder if the NFL was made aware of what the Texans were going to do.
I'm glad you said that, because I think it's imperative right now that if you're in the NFL, if you're listening on ESPN Radio, if you're listening around, whatever, because everyone's going to be talking about this, it's imperative for the NFL to get out in front of this. This story from the Houston Texans today said, we are aware and we're monitoring of this, and we were aware. Like, they need to show that they were in control, because this is going to look horrifically bad for the NFL, who said, hey, we can investigate this. We're going to do the right thing for the league, the right thing for the team, the right thing for the player, the right thing for the females in this case. And if all of a sudden you didn't know this information, how hard were you really digging? Or did you just want to dig hard enough to make it seem like you did? That's going to be the question, and we'll see. And maybe they do, and they already knew this, and everybody feels good.
Was it like brushing your teeth with a cavity? You know, you brush until you feel some pain, you feel some pushback, and then you stop brushing. You know what I mean? Like, as soon as you find something out about your organization or about your player, it makes you look bad, or you don't like it. Do you move on? I don't know. You can only trust internal investigation so much, because if it's at the behest of the team or the league, I mean, the best interests of the team and the league are going to come first.
Well, listen, I mean, we go back, and what was the player that was just a year suspended for gambling? Was it
Calvin Ridley? Yeah.
Calvin Ridley, right? Yeah. A year. So it was, what, $7,000. What I've come to learn about the NFL is that they will punish you if you mess with the league's bottom dollar, okay? Calvin Ridley and the amount of money they're getting from gambling and all of that, that could potentially throw in some wrenches of, hey, wait a minute. Like, if you got players gambling, no, because that could affect the NFL's bottom dollar. But if the Deshaun Watson punishment is anything less than what a year suspension was for gambling, that goes to show you that the NFL cares just enough to punish someone. But this story didn't hurt their bottom dollar.
Yeah.
And it's hard to disagree that it really won't have an issue at that point. Peter Burns, Randy Scott here. You can weigh in 888-729-3776. And again, we got a huge monster news is coming out as well, too, when we talking about the NBA. But we'll get to the Knicks, and I've got some advice for the Miami Heat as well. But Randy, brighten up the mood here a little bit, please.
Yeah, listen, if you're on the go, you might be skipping eating the healthy way, which is probably making you feel a bit more sluggish these days. Well, as a reminder, you can fuel life's special moments with heart-healthy Honey Nut Cheerios. Made with whole grains and low in fat, Cheerios also provide 12 essential vitamins and minerals. So pour your heart into today. It's oh so important. Pick up a box of Honey Nut Cheerios today at your local grocery store.
It's been a busy day, right? We get this Deshaun Watson news that breaks out of nowhere with the Houston Texans settling all these cases that are not the same amount that Deshaun has to deal. We've got Tiger Woods missing the cut, not officially retiring, but basically says, I might not ever come back to St. Andrews again, which is kind of crazy. And the Open Championship's going on. It's fantastic right now. Rory McIlroy making a charge. And I'm still waiting for the biggest story, which is, if you are the New York Knicks, have you already given him his parking spot in Donovan Mitchell? Because I'm telling you, Randy Scott, this thing is happening at this point. Now, the latest is that there's nothing. There's no news. The Athletic was reporting that, I guess, Utah offered Donovan Mitchell to the Knicks for 6 first-round draft picks, plus Quentin Grimes, Emmanuel Quickley, Obi Toppin, and Miles McBride, but the Knicks, quote, backed away from that proposal. What do you make of that news and the fact that there's been no new news today?
I think it's because there's one proven player or on his way to being proven in that list, in that hall, that the Knicks are not willing to part with right now. Because listen, the draft capital, six first rounders, whatever
it could be, 67.
But whatever it is, it's nothing. Because ideally, you're adding Donovan Mitchell and you are, you know, worsening your draft position in upcoming drafts. You know, you want to be a playoff team. You want that pick to be in the 20s. Ideally, you want that pick to be in the 30s, you know, but you want that pick to be a bad pick because you're improving your basketball team. So the draft capital, fine. But you have to have guys to surround Donovan Mitchell with. And you like Jalen Brunson. You don't have to part with Julius Randle. Don't have to part with R.J. Barrett, who the Knicks were pretty clear about not parting with, at least as rumors of this these conversations started to trickle out. But that haul that you get, or rather that you give up to Utah, it has to be more than what Minnesota gave up for Rudy Gobert. It has to. Mitchell is a better, more significant, all-around NBA talent.
Again, that's why when you start trying to compare, though, at this point, when you're trying to compare what I have to get, like, I understand it from an agent, right? When an agent sees Deshaun Watson get $235 million, if I'm Lamar Jackson, my own agent, I'm sitting there going, I want 235 plus one, right? That's or an agent fighting that. Once the bar is set, like, that's how I prove it. Yeah. But if you're Danny Ainge, no one's going to sit there and go, well, you didn't get as quite of a good deal as the Timberwolves. Like, who cares? You got a deal, because if this is part of that offer right now, and it's not the right fit, all of a sudden you start worrying about, what if all of a sudden Pat Riley takes my advice and says, we're done? Like, he understands. If Pat Riley's smart enough to understand that he's just getting trolled by Danny Ainge, he's just being used as a pawn to get a better deal from the Knicks, then all of a sudden things have changed. Right? Because who else is going to be that suitor for Donovan Mitchell if it's not a two-way street right now with the Heat and the Knicks? Yeah. I don't know who that mystery team would be.
It wouldn't be there. I mean, I'm going to tell you right now, when you get down to when one team isn't being bid up by another, when there is no bidding war, that price comes way down. And I don't care that it's dealing Danny Ainge. He's going to learn that in a big way. Because the Nets in 2013 are a cautionary tale now. There was no cautionary tale at the time for the Nets to draw upon when Danny said, "Nah, we want to send you Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett, and we want to throw in a couple other contracts that we're looking to unload, but we want franchise building first round draft capital in return." There is no team out there that's going to do that. The Knicks being asked for 6 future first round picks, that could get cut in half if there's no other potential suitor out there, if Pat Riley takes your advice, as you said. I would do this deal if I was Utah. I would maybe back off of Obi Toppin, see if New York will get it done. I don't know how close it is to getting done, but as we know right now, the Knicks say no. Danny's patient. He's been patient in the past. And listen, that 2013 deal with the Nets turned into franchise stuff. It was Jaylen Brown, one of the draft picks. Jason Tatum, one of the other ones. And Kyrie Irving ended up coming as a result of some of that draft capital because they flipped it to Cleveland for his services. So I don't mind giving up the draft capital. I think the proven basketball players right now, specifically Obi Toppin, maybe even Emmanuel Quickly, one of them needs to come off of this list, and this deal probably gets done.
For me, it's Obi, and the only reason why is not because he's the greatest player on that list, but it feels like he's New York, right? The same reason why I want to see Donovan Mitchell there is a guy that says, hey, I go to, like, Mets win yesterday, he tweets about it, right? Like, it's not only to have that success as a franchise who's just wandered in this desert and hasn't been able to find the promised land since what? I mean, my goodness, the mid-90s, right? You owe it. But how sweet would it be if you've got New York guys doing it? That you can look right now. You talk about a city that has been through hell in the handbasket over the last couple of years right now. And to have this, and you're getting it with the Yankees and the Mets right now, right? You got two programs, you got two teams, two franchises that are bringing smiles to a lot of people in that neighborhood. And the Knicks can do it right here, right now, if they find the right way to play with Danny Ainge. I think it needs to get done.
It means more for the Knicks. It's funny. We talk about all the talent that the Brooklyn Nets have, and as of this moment, as of right now, they still have Kevin Durant, and they still have Kyrie Irving on the roster, and
they're going to have them all year long. Let's be honest with you. Let's call it the way it is, right? After DeAndre Ayton, And he got his deal matched by the Suns. KD's not going anywhere, right? There was no market for Kyrie. And pump this into my veins. RJ Barrett, Obi Toppin, Madison Square Garden, Donovan Mitchell, right? And on the flip side, you have the chaos of KD and Kyrie that can't get it together. This is what I need in my veins. This is what wakes me up in the morning. This is like Mets and Yankees when they were rolling. I need this as a sports fan. I'm not from New York, Randy, right?
Mm-hmm.
I've got no interest in it. But if you mean to tell me I got this, I got Kevin Durant and his burner accounts and Kyrie and his flat earth and all this junk right now going up against a team that's led by some New Yorkers? Hell yes. Hell yes. Give it to me.
There is one New York team, and it's not the Brooklyn Nets. And it doesn't matter. The talent level could be through the roof, and it was. I mean, there were a handful of games where it was James Harden, and it was Kevin Durant, and it was Kyrie Irving. But New York has one basketball team. It is the New York Knicks. When they are good, when they are competitive, when they are relevant, when they are fun. I mean, just go back to Linsanity, which feels like forever ago because it was about eight years ago maybe, I don't know, but it was like that buzz, it just resonates league wide. So I'm going to say this, I don't agree with the idea that Kevin Durant needs to stay in Brooklyn to cement his legacy. His legacy's done. It's there. He has the rings, he's got the talent, he's a Hall of Famer. It's, to me, the legacy is not in question. I think the legacy has a lower ceiling if he does continue to move around as a mercenary, if he sets a precedent in motion of giving up 4 years on your contract.
But did that change with LeBron? LeBron was a mercenary. LeBron was the mercenary of all mercenaries. I mean, does it change your idea of what LeBron was because he hopped to the Heat, to the Lakers, wanted back, now mine's, you know, back in Cleveland, but do you look at LeBron being different than how you would look at Kevin Durant if he keeps popping at different places?
I would. Because LeBron never joined a 73-win basketball team. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, LeBron went to Miami. He didn't join a situation where the cupboard was bare. But when he came back to Cleveland, it was. When he came back to Cleveland, Kyrie was not this Kyrie. Kevin Love was a lot better than he is now. But LeBron was the centerpiece of that team. Kevin Durant was the best player on the Golden State Warriors, but he was not the face of the Warriors. LeBron's been the face of every team that he's played on. Heat culture might say it's D. Wade, but they're probably right about the face of the franchise, but the best player in the franchise and the reason they won those titles was LeBron.
It is so odd, right? Kevin Durant's going to be such an interesting case study for so many years about such a talented player, but even when the Warriors won with them, it almost put a stain on the Warriors, right? Like how many people championed the Warriors this year because they're like, well, at least you didn't do it this time with KD, right? And even when they were up and coming with Steph, right? Yeah. Like how important, and I don't think Steph would ever say it, but how important was it for Steph Curry to win a title after Kevin Durant left? I think that was incredibly important for Steph.
It was to be the reason they won, to be the man behind the title. It was that, and it was that way for Kobe after Shaq left. You know, I mean, I understand it.
Good point.
What a position it must be in, though. What a feeling. What a I don't know, a GOAT status, a resume item it has to be to have titles and to have been a key contributor on those titles already up on the shelf in the bank, and then have the opportunity to get back and win as the face of that team. I feel like that list is even shorter, and that's an even more special wing of the Hall of Fame, or at the very least, the greater recollection of fandom and how we have to remember these guys.
This has gotten way too much deep sports talk for us. I thought we were going to do like mustache. I thought we were going to talk Garth Brooks, and here we are actually doing sports talk radio. That's what happens when you fill in for Bart and Han. It is Peter Burns. It is Randy Scott. More of your phone calls. You want to hop in on this? 888-729-3776. We'll also talk to Amber Wilson. What's the latest that's going down right now with the Deshaun Watson news and the Houston Texans settling 30 lawsuits today. That coming up next here, ESPN Radio.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Han.
Bart and Han on ESPN Radio, always presented by Progressive Insurance. Get a business quote online as just as little as 6 minutes. Visit progressivecommercial.com. Peter Burns, Randy Scott filling in for Bart and Han. Still waiting for the Donovan Mitchell trade request, offers, all of that news. The package deal, that's what's going to probably officially get done by the Knicks here sometime soon, we imagine. Waiting for that. But while we were waiting, and Randy Scott and I were talking about different sport topics here, all of a sudden, boom, news breaks that an attorney seeking representing 30 women that have accused the Houston Texans of turning a blind eye to allegations that Deshaun Watson was sexually assaulting and harassing women during massage sessions say that they have settled their legal claims against the team. In a statement, Texans owner Janice McNair, Hannah, and Cal McNair said they didn't have any knowledge of this alleged misconduct. They were, quote, and deeply saddened when they first learned about the accusations, and they've resolved these claims. Joining us right now, someone's going to be hosting the next show, Amber Wilson, but ESPN Radio, also a practicing attorney. And Amber, I wanted to have you on because I look at this, and the news that kind of raised my eyebrow was that the Texans settled with 30 women. It appeared at being that Deshaun Watson has settled with 20. What's the difference here? What is there some significance in that difference of 10?
Well, we had heard from Tony Busby, Deshaun Watson's representation, that there may be more, that there may be more women who were thinking about filing actions who hadn't done so yet against Deshaun Watson. And so I would imagine that's the disparity in the numbers. Now, 25 women had at one point filed civil actions against Deshaun Watson. One of those cases was dismissed early on, so people forget about that. Then it was 24 pending civil actions. He has settled 20 of those. So we do still have 4 pending civil actions against Deshaun Watson. Most likely those are going to settle, just like the 30 potential civil actions. We only had one against the Houston Texans that was actually formally legally filed. So there was only one pending civil action. But what the Texans were doing here, Peter, is they obviously saw an opportunity to frankly wipe their hands clean of this situation. They went ahead and settled with every woman who they felt like might potentially file a case as it relates to Deshaun Watson, and went ahead and wiped their hands clean of the situation. I mean, that's an indication of what they're doing here. Right before training camp, by the way, and a Friday news dump right before training camp.
Yeah, that's in keeping with how this news comes out. I'm curious, and I'm not asking this question, but Peter and I were talking about whether or not the Texans looped in the league with what they were going to do today, and I'm guilty of this, so I'll raise my hand and say it. I looked at this and I thought, wow, that must mean the Texans were not confident in their ability to defend themselves against these cases from these women. But I want to ask you that. Is that too much of an assumption to say that this assumes that the cases against the Texans were stronger than Houston's ability to defend against them?
Yes, it has no bearing on the strength of these cases, the validity of these cases. Frankly, it has no bearing on the validity of the cases against Deshaun Watson, that he settled the 20 of those actions as well. Civil cases settle, Randy. I mean, that's just what happens in civil court. And people always confuse it because I think we grow up and all the television shows and movies are about criminal law, because civil law, maybe not so interesting to people other than those of us who practice it. And so people always get confused by the differentiation and the standard, you know, but in civil court, it's not liberty at stake, which is why it's such a lower standard. It's just money. And sure, it's easy for me to say it's just money, but if you take the Texans organization, we know these NFL teams, of course, are made of money, and then they have owners that are worth billions of dollars. And a lot of this just comes down to a calculation when you're looking at civil actions or potential civil actions that might arise against you. Even if you think that you're going to end up winning this civil case in 2 or 3 years, the amount of money you are going to spend defending that action for the next 2 or 3 years, the amount of lawyers' fees for something like 30 civil actions, you were talking millions and millions, if not tens of millions of dollars when it comes to a situation like this for the Houston Texans. So why spend millions and millions of dollars on court costs and lawyers' fees defending yourself if you could just go ahead and get rid of the potential for those civil actions and settle the one pending civil action for presumably much significantly less than that? I mean, we have no idea what these settled for. We'll never know what these settled for. And it's the same thing with Deshaun Watson. And I've been saying it since day one when these civil actions were filed against Watson. They are going to settle because it's exactly what happens, and it's going to be confidential. We're never going to know the terms of it. It's going to be a headline one day. We'll mention it one day, and then we'll all move on the next. That's not necessarily morally righteous, but that's just the reality of how things work in civil court. I do want to say one thing real quick, and I know I'm taking up a lot of time, but Randy, I heard you talking about when you guys were discussing this earlier, and you guys were doing a great job reacting to this in real time. I heard you talking about the statement from the team that you kind of took issue with, and you thought, well, maybe if they really wanted to take a stand, the Texans here, against allegations of sexual misconduct, then they should have acknowledged this allegation against a team employee handing an NDA to women who are maybe going to have relations with Deshaun Watson or have a massage from or with Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
And I thought that was an interesting take by you. But what I do want to say here is, as somebody who represents at my firm dozens of NFL athletes, I will just say, and I've never represented one with the amount of allegations against him as Deshaun Watson. However, I will say it is not unusual for professional athletes to have people sign non-disclosure agreements. There are all sorts of reasons that professional athletes might not want those discussions being had. And it certainly does not always rise to, you know, the criminal nature by any means, or
certainly
immoral nature by any means. So NDAs are incredibly common in this world. And I wonder, because you just brought up whether the NFL was kind of looped into what the Texans are doing here. Mm-hmm. I wonder if that's not necessarily unusual practice amongst teams in the NFL. And so let's just make this whole thing go away instead of that coming up in court.
That was
in a public record.
That was going to be my follow-up, Amber, was NDAs themselves not being rare, perhaps being more common than anyone realizes, but the fact that the NDA is given to the player, given to the athlete by the team. I was curious, in your experience, certainly without revealing any other names or naming teams or even leagues, but how common that is. How common is it for an athlete to get the NDA literally delivered to his locker by a member of the team security office?
I will say, in my own experience as a lawyer representing NFL players, I have not been made aware of that. But it does stand to reason that it could happen. I myself have been involved in drawing up NDAs for professional athletes for a whole multitude of reasons, but that obviously I'm not going to get into. But I would say that, you know, it often comes from a athlete's personal lawyers and not necessarily the team, but I'm not saying it's unheard of, because I could see a world where it's not just the Texans. Although, again, I don't have personal experience with it.
Fascinating conversation here with practicing attorney Amber Wilson, who's going to be hosting the next show. Last real quick question for you, Amber, my last one on this. How much, if any, does this change what you think the league hands down to Deshaun Watson with this news today?
None. I don't think it changes one iota. And I do wonder, like you guys, you know, is Sue Robinson aware of 30, you know, potential women here with potential claims? Because presumably if they have claims against the Texans, then presumably they would have had claims against Deshaun Watson. I would guess yes, but we don't know, obviously. We don't really know what Sue Robinson's analysis even entails here, because we just have nothing to base it on since this is the first time we've seen her in this role. So I don't think the fact that the Texans settled with these women has any bearing on an NFL suspension. I think that's completely independent. Now, I wouldn't be surprised if these same 30 women who settled were part of Sue Robinson's potential analysis for a suspension, but not the fact that the Texans have settled.
More from Amber as this story develops. Coming up, she'll be hosting Canteen and Carlin with my normal co-host over on Sunday mornings, Katie George. Y'all have I would say fun, but I feel like there should need to be fun topics in Sports Talk Radio today.
Oh, come on. It's always fun when I do shows with you, Peter. It's always fun when I do shows with Katie. And one day I'm going to get to do shows with Randy Scott.
Thank you. Yes.
I'm over here left out. Thank you, Amber. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, guys.
All right. Amber Wilson there. She'll be on that next show. Canty and Carlin is Peter Burns and Randy Scott. We are going to have a little bit more fun coming up, but there is a little bit of an angle that I did not expect coming from the NBA. I want to talk to you about that coming up. Peter Burns, it is Randy Scott, it is Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio.
Bart and Hahn.
Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, not Bart, not Hahn. Peter Burns, Randy Scott, two mustaches hanging out here, talking a little sports, just owning the world, just doing it right now. Speaking of owning everything, Cam Smith, too clear of the field over at St. Andrews over Cam Young. But this is a story within the story that I need, right? Pump it into my veins right now. Rory McIlroy, the legend, 9 under. And remember how vocal he's been, Randy, against the LIV golfers. You know the guy right now, if it stands this way, who he's going to be paired up in the second to last round of the Open Championship with? Mm-hmm. Dustin Johnson, Mr. LIV, LIV Golf himself. Where do you stand on this whole deal? Because I want to see this matchup between like two vocal guys, like two, you know, warring factions against each other.
Yeah. You know, we know what the right side of history is. We know the history of the Saudi government. And we know, honestly, if you're willing to view it through not even a cynical prism, but just a fact-based prism, like this is an attempt to PR. It's a PR attempt for a government. That's what the LIV Golf Tour is. Does it also, though, afford the PGA Tour an opportunity for some self-introspection, for some self-improvement, maybe, to address some issues that are real, that have been expressed by PGA Tour golfers and certainly caddies and things like that. Yes.
They've already had movement, right? Like the PGA Tour decided to add money to purses. They've already changed some of their stuff. Like you've seen that movement already.
Yeah,
correct.
Yeah. It also does that. I think the 54 hole format's zany. I think it's short lived perhaps, but I also think anybody who judges these guys needs to really take a long look at what they would do if presented with this amount of money. I do say that. I think especially for guys like Mickelson, guys who might be getting on in their career, certainly on in life, on in age, financial obligations being what they are, whether they're self-created or not, I think that that's a real tough thing to ask of someone to walk away from that amount of money. But make no mistake, we know what the right side of history is. I do think there's an opportunity. You're a much more knowledgeable golf fan than I am. Down the road, for there to be a sort of Super Bowl of golf, like the AFL, NFL, for there to be a tournament match play, whatever it is, style of LIV's best against the PGA Tour's best in a made-for-TV sort of event with a lot of money on the line.
In essence, that's what is shaping up right now at St. Andrews. And that's why I'm so excited about this situation, right? Because you have people that are all in on PGA Tour. They're all in on Rory McIlroy and Justin Thomas. You got other people that are like, I need villains, right? And golf doesn't really have villains because it's individual. But if you do add that aspect of it, buddy, hang tight. Dustin Johnson right now, Rory McIlroy.
Bart and Hahn.
Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio, Peter Burns and Randy Scott. As always, a show presented by Progressive Insurance. Remember, we got NL Battle tomorrow night. Giants hosting the Brewers, presented by Progressive Insurance. Coverage begins at 6:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. It's funny, you were just talking about, you know, what you do with LIV Golf and whatnot. I think that's why I'm so excited about this Sunday coming up. Right, like I kind of want this like tournament within the tournament. Not only is it the 150th playing of the Open Championship, you've got a fantastic leaderboard right now. But like, does it make you pull against? Like, do you have a dog in the hunt, Randy, at this point? Like, on who you're pulling for in golf? Does a LIV Golf thing strike you enough as a villain to where it's like, all right, I need to have this?
It does. Yeah, I don't know if
okay.
I need.
So you're out. You're like pulling against. You want Dustin Johnson. Rope hook it, take out a spectator, out of bounds, just like, listen, I want him to fail miserably.
The more spectacular the failure, absolutely. But I also, you know, I think I'm not surprised. I'll turn the question on you as I answer my own. I'm not surprised by who's defected. Personality-wise, this is, if you gave me a 15-person field from the PGA Tour
right.
to go ahead and defect 15, 25, however many it is, like I think I'd pass that test. I'd probably bat about 700 on picking who these guys were.
Right. Older players getting long in
the
tooth, or the guys that just kind of said, you know what, I'm not defined by the PGA Tour, right? I'm not defined by this. Bryson DeChambeau as long has been kind of at the they've gone not necessarily eye to eye with the PGA Tour. Brooks Koepka, you know.
I'm thinking of Brooks, yeah.
Dustin Johnson as well, too. So those names that come out. I do think that it's important. And for them to battle in the most historic venue, right? This is not some just kind of ancillary, you know, exhibition match in Qatar or someplace, some pro-am of a one-day deal. This is the birthplace of golf. And you have these roaring factions between the PGA and LIV Golf right now. And again, I think with every single step, I am curious to see, too, after this weekend, how many other players go to LIV? Because I do think, like, before the U.S. Open, some guys said that they were not going to go. Brooks Koepka was one of those guys that famously said, I'm not here to talk about LIV Golf. I'm here to talk about the U.S. Open, right? Well, the reason why is because he knew that had he announced that he was going to LIV Golf, everybody would have just asked them the questions going into the U.S. Open. So he didn't do it. But after this week, do you see a Harold Varner? Do you see all these other players come out and go, all right, you know, I'm in. Wow. Like, that's going to be fascinating to me of how many guys said, I just want to get by the Open Championship at St. Andrews. I've done it. Now all the majors are open over for this year. Boom. Where's my money? My money.
I didn't think about that. And I don't think you're wrong at all. And I don't know if it's... Wow, I don't know if it's Varner. I don't know who it is necessarily. I'm just saying, like, that timeline, looking at the golf calendar changing the way it does naturally anyway, this is a natural thing. We've seen it after certain tournaments all season long, to be honest, all year long. So you're right. I had not given that a thought. I don't think they're done adding talent, to be sure.
One of the things I saw today that was interesting is Henrik Stenson, who's playing, who's going to be the next Ryder Cup captain, right? We're coming up in the next Ryder Cup. He's the European team captain, was asked about what his schedule is going forward. Now, traditionally, had LIV Golf not been there, a guy like Henrik Stenson, who still competes at a pretty decent and high level, would say, well, I'm going to play in this tournament, then I'll play in this tournament, I'll take some rest, and I'll go play here. The fact that the Ryder Cup captain sits there and goes, I'm undecided at this point.
Yeah,
that would be very interesting to me, because if all of a sudden you've got a Ryder Cup captain that says, all right, I'm going, right? They always wanted the big name. That's why they threw some $800 million allegedly at Tiger Woods. They wanted that name.
Yeah.
Mickelson was that name, right?
Right.
And you've seen Dustin Johnson and Brooks Koepka, but that to me is going to be fascinating if that's going to be the case.
It's not. No, you're right. It's not a talent-based system. It's making a splash. I mean, because it's not about competitive golf. It's this speaks to the PR elements, the PR goals, the end game for the tour is to boost the image of the government that is funding it worldwide. That's what it is. It's not about the golf, or else Lefty wouldn't be there.
No doubt about it. By the way, Phil Mickelson appears, I believe, is going to miss that cut. All right. We're going out. I'm sure there'll be Friday news dumps, and Canty and Carlin and the girls will have that coming up. But is Donovan Mitchell a New York Knickerbocker by the end of this week?
End of the week being this coming week?
Give me some. I'll give you Sunday at 11:59 p.m.
He is. He is. I think he gets done. I think by next Friday. Excuse me. No, I think he stays with the Jazz. I'm sorry. Let me phrase it right.
50-50 shots.
End of the week.
50-50 shots.
End of the week still in Utah. This time next week, New York Nick.
You know it's not true until all of a sudden somebody changes their social media accounts. And that's going to be the case. Randy Scott, you can follow him on Twitter. Always see him on SportsCenter. He carried this show for the last 3 hours. Randy Scott, ESPN on Twitter. Myself, at Peter Burns, ESPN. Amber Wilson, Katie George, got Candy and Carlin locked down. This has been ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.